gotta get this baby's gender down so we can settle on a name.
Have you guys been going back and forth on some names?
I have.
She has. I haven't started looking, really.
I like James.
Oh, you're filling up another boy.
No, that's for a girl.
You said James?
I said James. Yes, you
said James. She came back, so I said James.
That was so perfect.
I said James.
But the interaction was perfect. Because I had to say it that way for you to respond that way.
It's only one. It's only one out of three.
Wait a minute! Did he have those stuff in the background?
That was the best yet.
I'm not gonna reenact that.
That was great. That was great. Look at Chris. He's not. He's not touching.
Eli and I are like. Eli's like. What's the boy's name?
Yeah, he's just confused. He's like, James? Oh, that was funny. Because you were like, you think it's a boy? I'm like, no, for a girl. You said James?
No, this is my... I was like, oh, baby, she said James. I was like, oh, then my bad. I heard that wrong. I said James.
Oh my god. Culture Connection, and you know, when you've been gone as long as I've been, are you really allowed to say another edition? Welcome back to the summer of 2014. I don't even know when's the last time I saw my faithful, heard my faithful viewership. I hope I have someone out there listening. If you're listening to this particular podcast, please like right now on the Facebook page, tweet me at Callie Yaley. Hit up blackisonline.com. Just let me know that you still exist. Because if there's no one out there, why do we exist? So, it's good to be back. You know, those of us here working and doing our thing on blackisonline.com, life is moving steadily ahead. As I mentioned in the last podcast, our head negress in charge is now with child. And she don't come down like she used to, but... praise the Lord today. Head negress in charge. Excuse me, the head negress of this charge, who's been on a little bit of sabbatical, is here to discuss a really fascinating topic that I'm really ready to talk about. But before I get into today's topic, please welcome my producer, the head engineer of this here program, the producer with without there would be no program. Please give it up for Chris Lehman, everybody. What's going on, y'all?
We need like a little button that's like, and can you hear her? She ready for her intro. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for the head negress of this charge, Sister KC Lehman.
What's up, y'all?
So, good to be back, y'all. Love y'all. We, you know, before we got on today, it was just a bunch of tomfoolery, chicanery, bamboozlement, just down home Uncle Tom foolery. Because somebody in here talking about they naming their child, who might be a girl,
I wish I could literally reenact for you all what happened when I heard this woman talk about her unborn child. Can we I don't even know how it happened.
We could try it again.
But what was the first thing that you said?
We were going through all the different names that Chris and I, well, mainly I, have been proposing for the impending baby that I think is the girl, although we have no
which I didn't know. I didn't know this at the time when we started talking, and right. She said, right.
And so we got to one name in particular, which has caused much controversy when I put it on.
And I think you said her, or did you say you used, did you use a pronoun that was feminine?
I think so.
Okay.
So, because all the names, so I said, so,
No,
I started with that name.
You said it with the name. You started with the name,
yeah,
which is.
Yeah, and I was like, well, I like the name James.
Oh, yeah, okay. I think I said something like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, you were like, oh, so you're thinking it's a boy.
Oh, that's exactly. Okay, now I'm ready for my part. Here we go. And action.
So, I like the name James.
Oh, so you're thinking it's a boy.
No, for a girl. James for a girl.
You said James?
I said James.
Now, this may, ladies and gentlemen, this may not be funny to you, but we both just fell back in our... Because you have to understand, when somebody, you are saying, oh, I'm like, oh, I'm excited, you know, they found out the gender. And she said, no. I said, you think, oh, so you think it is a... But no, it's a, that's for a girl. I said, you said James? I said James. Like, it was the cadence of how it all happened was just hysterical. Because in my mind, I'm like, well, let me correct myself. I said, you think it's a boy? No, it's a girl. You said James? I said James. I said, oh.
Which, mind you, every time I say James, Chris gives me this look, and I just know it's not going to happen. It's my pipe dream. I've actually let James go. Because once we actually proposed it to Eli, and he was thoroughly confused, he's like, wait. James is the prince on whatever TV show he's watching. How can you name a girl James? James is for a boy. So
then, like, she okay. went into giving other names, and she said, James Patricia Layman. I said, is the child transgender? I was so confused. I'm like, now you're giving it to two, male, female. I'm like, what's going on?
I did that to make them laugh.
Then she said, James Pat Layman. Oh, I said, oh, androgyny. Wonderful. Perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, so this is the welcome back that I've provided for you. Yes. I hope you've enjoyed this entertainment. Oh, Lord. I should go nickname it James. That's, I mean, like, Chris has already, you know, resigned himself to the fact that his child is somehow going to be named James if it's in secret. You know, she's going to be in the bathtub like, you know, I always wanted to call you James.
I happen to like James for a girl. I think it can be pulled off.
Okay.
You have to be slick with it, but I think it could be pulled off. But... I have to have co-signers in this situation. This is not a solo choice. So, the baby's name will definitely not be James.
You said James?
I said James. For a girl.
Yeah. Okay. Now, this I can only imagine how this may not be funny for those who are listening. I'm sorry. I had to take license and have this moment because we literally spent an hour talking about that before we started recording.
Let the tweets roll in.
Please let them roll in.
Casey, really?
this week's topic is just, you know, I've been out and about, I've been traveling, and so it's good to be back. Real quickly, I was in Atlanta for some time, and I saw a play at True Colors Theater starring Kenny Leone and Tony Award-winning actress Felicia Rashad called Same Time Next Year. It was horrific, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Boo,
we'll
yes.
talk about it in another episode, but it was just like, wow, okay. it was. I mean, this is not gonna do it.
Okay.
Not gonna do it. This is not that episode. Today's episode of Culture Connection, we're talking about is America ready for non-white majority narratives in cinema? And the issue came up today because some of you may have seen this, but the two things. One, I put up a Huffington Post article about the movie Lucy, in which a white woman wrote Lucy, why I'm tired of seeing white people on the big screen. I love what Hollywood could be, but I must say that I don't love what it is. I can't accept that while my daily, and then it goes on to talk about why white people, specifically in Lucy, which is, I haven't seen the movie, but it's basically about this woman who like what gains all the knowledge in the world and uses that knowledge to basically almost transcend humanity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people were talking about, you know, the original Lucy, if you know, anthropology was a black woman from the motherland of mm-hmm. the continent of Africa. And they're basically portraying Lucy as a blonde white woman. And this white woman says, are you kidding me? And having studied anthropology, couldn't even really accept it. And so without going into detail about that article, which we can post on the site, I wanted to talk about this idea of, is America really ready for non-white majority narratives? And what I mean by that is America ready to like let go of the fact that white people are not everybody's history? Mm-hmm. In addition to that post, I also posted in the comment section on, and this happens to be actually on my management website. Shout out to MKD Arts Management. If you don't know, you better know. MKD Arts Management, look us up on Facebook. So I sent out something that said, any thoughts on the racial makeup of this epic remake in 2014? And that's for Exodus, Gods and Kings, which is the new Ridley Scott film that is basically a remake of The Ten Commandments, starring Christian Bale. I thought this was just a pertinent topic. I mean, one, because, well, there's several things going on. There's people who are probably upset, one, because it's just the Egyptians are pretty much all white, and then all of the villains and slaves, and they're all dark and black. I mean, whenever you have Sigourney Weaver playing, like, I mean, Sigourney, it doesn't get any more pale.
Well, first of all, who is Sigourney playing?
I thought it said Yugo. I'm sorry. No, that was so Freudian slip.
Because isn't Sigourney Weaver like 85 years old right now? I'm trying to figure out how she's still getting cast in leads.
She's playing Tuya. Tuya. That was far from Yugo or Yugo. Excuse me. So there is a Facebook page called Boycott Exodus Gods and Kings. Started by Malik Dayo out of Ogden, Utah. Shout out to this gentleman. And there's about 724 members. And they have, I mean, there's just tons of information that he's put on here about the movie and why people should boycott it. He's even gotten some attention in Australian media. And it's a big deal. People are really starting to talk about it. He posts on here pictures of Egyptian artifacts, and you obviously the skin color of all of these Egyptian artifacts, they're certainly not necessarily black as the night that may cover us, but they are certainly brown, chocolate, and bronzed. And mm-hmm. when you look at the pictures, when you look at the trailer, it's very frustrating. And I was telling Casey, I said, this is the challenge that my white brothers and sisters, they don't have the dichotomy of watching a trailer like this and being both excited and angry in the same breath. Mm-hmm. Why? Because, and the only other group I could say probably has this is probably women. Mm-hmm. Because women probably could watch stuff and be like, oh, that's so misogynistic, but it's probably so good. But when it comes to something like this, where the white majority white culture's narrative is constantly being reinforced, and it's actually history that's being told that's incorrect. Mm-hmm. You know, you sit here and you're like, the film looks like it's brilliantly made. It's Ridley Scott. Mm-hmm. Hello, mm-hmm. Aliens. It looks brilliant. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, even they end this trailer with the crashing of the Red Sea coming down on one of the chair horses, and you're like, that looks epic. Because first of all, when you think about these stories in the Bible, which have been proven, you're like, wow, what have we been to live through that? And you know all of the plague scenes are going to be ridiculous. They don't even show the plague scenes in the trailer, you know. And there's tons of plagues in the Ten Commandments. So,
and you know the budget is there.
And you know the budget is there. So, and the CGI is going to be in some of the best you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It's going to look real. That's where CGI is headed. It looks real. Shout out to Planet of the Apes. I'm like, CGI is insane. So I wanted to just discuss what we thought about it, you know, as the fam, because we're all folks who are cinema goers, and we are connoisseurs of cinema, mm-hmm. not just, you know, the black cinema, but we appreciate great filmmaking and what it must feel like in 2014 for us to even have this conversation and how can we move forward culturally? Are we not able to move forward until we have the money and the studio power? Is boycotting our option right now? And is boycotting a serious option?
I don't think boycotting is going to have the desired effect, mainly because even though this totally has all the possibility in the world to be a historical black narrative, when it comes down to Hollywood, all they care about is dollars and cents. And so they're looking at what film did all of us run out and flock to see last. And for a lot of black folks, period pieces, be they inclusive of us or not, are not supported very often.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when it comes down to it, because of the budget, because it's Ridley Scott, it makes financial sense for them to cast Christian Bale. Sigourney Weaver is going to forever be a question mark, but Christian Bale as the lead is going to bring seats to the theater, and that's all they freaking care about. I think we have to.
But technically, that could be fine because Moses was not an Egyptian.
Right.
So that I would actually have been fine with.
Right.
But the main Egyptian characters, why Ramses could not have been
a black man.
Or been a light skin. I'm like, they don't even throw you a bone and give us Shamar Moore.
Right. Well, would you want Shamar Moore?
Shamar would not be in this film. Who is that like? Boris Kodjo. Boris is light skin. He speaks
Amari,
German.
What's his name?
Amari Hardwick.
Let's do that.
Amari probably would have been much better than Boris. But you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Like, my God.
I do.
Could we at least get somebody who is closer to the historical resemblance of these people?
Well,
this is the same issue we've had with Noah, although Noah had his own issues because people were like, not only do you not, you're saying that the beginning of the world had no people of color, but people who were Christian said it wasn't biblically correct. So they had all kinds of issues with that film.
Mm-hmm.
But, and this isn't, and Lucy is also on the board, because basically the woman in this article, she says, we're basically saying that in the most evolved version of humanity, it's a blonde white woman.
With blue eyes.
When that's not even what the world is made of. White people are not the majority of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But in this film, they are the evolved species, is going to be the most evolved species, a blonde white woman. So it's just, it's almost like, And I have to say, I actually think they don't care, because globally we are brainwashed. We are accepting of it. That Lucy and all of these films, they'll do well in like Asian markets where, you know, whiteness is a standard of beauty, where, you know, people are changing their slits in their eyes so that they're more open and it has white features. Not saying that that's the majority of the culture's behavior, but these are things that exist, and you almost wonder if it's so pervasive in our culture, can it be stopped?
And the funny thing is, when you mentioned the fact that it seems like in this particular situation, it will be us and dominantly women who have the experience of seeing a trailer and not feeling properly represented, I think it's probably every ethnic group under the sun aside from the quote unquote white majority. Mm-hmm. Asian people have gone through it. And now, you know, when you do have a film starring Asian characters, I mean, tell me the last time you saw a story that starred Asian characters and it didn't have some level of kung fu or martial arts in it, which to me is so stereotypical, as if every single Asian person in the world is
or
somehow,
there's some like ancient China,
right?
Antiquity is always associated exactly. with Asian folks.
Same with folks who are Indian, and I don't mean Native American, but I mean Indian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can find a white actor who is, you know, racially or ethnically ambiguous, they'll put somebody in there who actually is white but can play Indian. Same with Hispanic. And so I think all groups are underrepresented when it comes to Hollywood depictions. And it just speaks to who's in charge of filmmaking, who makes these decisions, who's in charge of casting, who's signing off on the checks and the budgets, and dictates what choices have to be made. And that's why there are superstars and people who just hope to audition and get picked for a role.
I want a Marlon Brando moment from the Oscars where Marlon Brando had that Native American come up there and tell them people about themselves. These white folks who are in this movie, I'm now questioning their liberalness, if they claim to be liberals. Mm-hmm. And I also have issues with the black people who are like, it's cool, I'm down to play the slave and the and you know, if you know their history, and you know, and I'm not going to say your history, because at the end of the day, everybody didn't come from Egypt.
Right.
You know, Egypt, at the end of the day, Egyptians were slave owners. They were, so we, it's funny how black people in America be trying to claim Egyptian stolen legacy. But I'm like, nigga, you was not the Egyptian. Like, you was their slave.
Yeah, talk to modern day Egyptians.
Okay, you are not part of that tribe. But we constantly are like, Africa, Egyptian. But anyway, I'm like, in 2014, where you saw the incredible movements of people in Egypt, like, what an opportunity to have an Egyptian representation, a new Egyptian ingenue in the film. And my thing is, it's Ridley Scott, have Christian Bale be the draw, and then really be responsible. And this is when I start to question liberal folks in industries, because I'm like, you're not responsible. You're just like, because when you have an opportunity to really make a statement and to be responsible about imagery and what it does, because images are very powerful. Yes. And they're dictate. Listen, they're telling history right now, because we, as we all know, I'm being facetious, as we all know, nobody reads books anymore, and it's everything going to be remembered by images. And if you get to take over all the images, eventually you can rewrite people. You can write people out of history.
Yep.
Particularly since we're killing ourselves off with Taco Bell, McDonald's. So, you know, we're not going to be here. So who going to tell our story?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, I, as an Egyptian, I wonder what Egyptians feel like to look at this story and be like, these don't even look like Egyptians. Let's forget black people. They don't look like Egyptians.
Can I relay a story from my college roommate who was a true Egyptian? Mm-hmm. And I think I've probably said this on another podcast.
Yeah, I feel like you may have talked about this.
Also, I'll be brief.
No.
She and I had a conversation because I used to work in what was considered the people of color tutoring office on UCLA's campus. And a girl came in there one day and she had been marked African-American, and she caught a case. And she was like, I am not African-American. I am Egyptian-American. And the whole room was nothing but black folks. And we're all looking at her like, really? Okay. You know, you look like a light-skinned black person to us. Don't know what your problem is. And so I took that back to my roommate, who was sweet as pie, never pretentious or, you know, any of that. And she said, you know, Kim, we don't identify as African-American because culturally we're closer to whatever is, no, I can't even think, but whatever country is north of Egypt. That, you know, they're closer to Arabic. So, you know, they speak Arabic language. They're Muslim. The lifestyle and the culture, the traditions and the things that they practice are not necessarily considered African as much as they're considered
Middle Eastern.
Exactly. And so she said, when people say African American, it doesn't sit right entirely because we don't readily identify with, you know, what would be considered African on the rest of the continent, even though we know we're a part of the continent. Mm-hmm. She said, but then there are white people who try to classify us as white, and we tell them that's not right either. She said, I can't tell you how many times people have marked off, you know, for me, Caucasian. I'm not Caucasian. I'm Egyptian. I'm very clear about my history and about my culture and where my people came from and our traditions. And it's, and when I tell you their community, at least out here in Southern California, is very deep and very serious. We're not all privy to it because it's tight knit. But she rolled with Egyptian chicks. they had their whole thing. You know, she practiced all of her various traditions and religious practices and was very, very serious about all of that. And she still, you know, she married Egyptian, still very much into that community. And so when she broke it down to me like that, it helped me to understand it in a way that was digestible, unlike the other homegirl who was in the office catching the case. And so I think when they see something like that, even like when I think back to HBO's Rome and how they tried to showcase Nefertiti, Cleopatra. They tried to showcase Cleopatra and the casting for that. Mm-hmm. It's never correct. They don't actually have an Egyptian American actor participating. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think for the Egyptians, if they put a clear black actor, for them, that wouldn't be correct either. Just based off of this, you know, my roommate's experience.
I agree with you. I'm just like, just, it comes down to just it always being a particularly white narrative. That's all. Then that's the question that was posed on Facebook is, are we ready for the non-white majority narrative?
We are.
And I don't know. I mean, it makes you wonder if this country is going to have another civil war, because I do not believe that the current white majority is going to go out, just going to go out like that. You know, the statistics say by 2040, the majority of the country will be people of color. That's not far away. Mm-mm. 2040 is should be in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. We would be 70. We'd be like 60 something. Mm-hmm. So we could literally live through some very historic moments and shifts in this country's dynamics. Lord help us. So, you know, it's fascinating. I hearing you say what you just said about your roommate, I'm reminded that no, it wouldn't be the person necessarily shouldn't look like me and shouldn't look like, you know, they should look like the Egyptians. And so I guess my argument here is, can we make historic movies because, you know, they're not gonna have any problem doing Victorian era. Or, you know, Downton Abbey, they're never going to get confused what a white British person is. In fact, they'll never let you know that other people who are not white were British.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, you know, and it's almost like the reason why they claim the Egyptians as white is because they were so powerful, they had so much money, and because they were so brilliant.
Yeah, so educated.
It's like they're not going to be claiming, what was that movie where it was like the Mayan culture and they were wearing red? It wasn't a Kevin Costner movie. It took place like in a rainforest.
Was it Apocalypse, one of Mel Gibson's movies?
Yeah, I think it was a Mel Gibson movie, but it was intense. And like they were like savages, they were cannibals, they ate each other, mm-hmm. and it ends up like they're a big Mayan temple and they sacrifice people. Yeah. They were like, no, these are red people. They were very red. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know, 12 Years a Slave didn't have no light-skinned Negroes. They were like, we want all the darkies. Mm-hmm. Bring them on set. So it's just very interesting how it goes down like that with regards to casting. And, you know, I guess part of me is like, I don't know. I mean, do I boycott? I'm going to go on this Facebook page and really read it and scroll down it. I do think it's hilarious that black people were really quick to jump on the Egyptian bandwagon and claiming of it. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm telling you, you was from West Africa. You didn't get quite get that. They didn't quite
you
get
weren't
that
far. Far north,
you
weren't that far north.
You just were. You really were.
And I, for me, when I tell you, it was an eye-opening experience living with a woman who was born there, and moved here and was truly tied in to a culture that fascinates so many of us. Mind blown. And just a world of education of what that experience was actually like. And at that, there is an entire community of Egyptian American people that live in, you know, Southern California, and you know, they do their thing, but it is definitely more of a Middle Eastern culture. She definitely helped me to see that.
My two cents, it's tired.
I'm tired of seeing it. It's not shocking anymore. If I go by America, everybody is white. The whole seven continents looks white.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tired. It's like, okay, well, the lead is always going to be white. They'll usually throw that particular race in when they need it. You know, like with Johnny Depp's movie, he was playing Indian.
Oh, with the Lone
Ranger. I mean, even watching Lucy, you like, everybody here is Asian but you.
Yeah.
It's all Asian. Why can't you just have an Asian lead?
Thank you. Why couldn't Lucy Liu be the...
Right.
Why couldn't you?
Lucy?
It's the fact that Scarlett Johansson can wear any kind of hair color she wants, but you just happen for her to be blonde in this particular movie. Okay.
Yeah. Or give her some contact lenses.
Yeah.
To change her color of her eyes.
And that, to me, was more bothersome is the Lucy. Because it reminded me of that film, The Fifth Element. Like, whenever there's something wonderful, some majestical, high-powered being, it is a white woman.
And we know that. it's going to be white.
You know, and it's like, why does the story always have to end that way? You know, and mind you, I'm not somebody that hates Scarlett Johansson. I think she's...
I mean, part of it is not her fault. That's who they casted. They was whoever. If it wasn't going to be her, it was going to be another white chick.
Yeah. But she's like the white action chick right now in some ways.
Scarlett Johansson?
I mean, we was talking about Cleopatra. We know who was going to play Cleopatra. I mean, she had that role as soon as she started blowing up.
Who?
America's favorite... white woman who can do everything and who's who?
Oh, Angelina Jolie.
Yes.
Yeah, we saw that coming.
Yeah, we were like, oh,
because Angelina Jolie's look is ethnically crossover.
Yes. when we were watching the preview for Exodus, I was like, everybody in this movie is white. Everybody in all the roles, I didn't see anybody who looked brown.
Not in the preview
at all. I'm like, what the fuck? Really? And you're like, where is this? Where are we? Oh, yeah. This is in, really?
Ancient Egypt.
We're not in Ohio, Idaho or something? Because damn, like.
Integrity, like, this is the thing. The same industry that they went and got Lincoln, the integrity of Lincoln, the integrity of Schindler's List. And then you go on into antiquity and you can't get it right. What?
Oh, everybody in the Bible white. I mean, that's if they're gonna do a Bible story, everybody is going to be white.
Well, shit. Let's just talk about the image of Jesus that's pushed in this country. I mean, let's just start there.
Oh, I'm with Kirk Franklin. As long as your blood was red.
Hey, that's the truth. I bet you.
But it's so. I mean, the prevailing image is that Jesus was white,
yeah,
a blonde hair, blue eye. And what's interesting is the Bible does not even describe him as that, which is even more of an offense because he talks about hair that is woolly and bronzed skin.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about bronzed skin, unless Jesus was tanning, which I doubt he was. It's a problem. Now, one of the things that I will argue as a Christian is that, honestly, it's interesting because while I'm having this, I'm talking about this from a historical standpoint, at the end of the day, from a spiritual standpoint, I'm not tripping off of what people think that they've created because the truth is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to create a lie, you can create a lie, but the truth is you're the one that's going to dance. Like, that is not the truth.
Right.
You're creating imagery that is not truth. And so you're marginalizing God's people. You're marginalizing what... And my thing is, you can't... We have to ask ourselves, as black people, as people in general, when we start to look to entertainment for validating our images, we are in trouble.
Yeah. We're
and this is a great opportunity, I think, for parents... for educators to say, actually, let's go look at the artifacts. Let's go look at the images. Let's go to a museum and see what African and ancient Egyptian people look like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting to me. I don't know if you guys ever thought about this, but when you look in the ancient, when you go to museums and you see them, they're actually, to me, much darker than what they are now, the folks who live there, which I find interesting. Is that because... Like when you look at the paintings, and it's very interesting to me that there's, and so I'm like, oh, were obviously there was some kind of class system, caste system, where I do believe that darker skinned Egyptians were probably not as high up on the food chain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they were Egyptians. Mm-hmm. And there was this palette of hues. And you have to ask yourself, when somebody's controlling the images, when you're allowed to just control all the hues and make them one hue in 2014, when you have a black president, when you have an Egyptian, when you have the internet and people could literally, I mean, this campaign is picking up steam. There was a time when you tried to start a boycott and like people wouldn't know about it in Egypt, or but they would only know about America if they got the paper mm-hmm. or they heard it on the radio. Mm-hmm. But now with Facebook and Twitter mm-hmm. and blogs, you could hit your Egyptian homie up that you met during their uprising and be like, y'all see this? Y'all boycott this too. And it could literally be global.
It could be a problem.
So this could have some footing.
It could. Yeah. I think if what it brings to mind is that this past year has been one where we've felt, well, it depends on what side of the situation you stand on. A lot of people have been angry by all the black films that have come out because of the depictions, the butlers, the slaves, all that sort of stuff. But then on the other hand, you have people who are just glad that there are films being made that show a bit of our history, be it, you know, the part of it that makes a lot of us uncomfortable. It is still our history. We are descendants of slaves. We did work in the capacity of being domestics. To me, a film like Belle, which I'm not sure how many of us actually went out and saw it.
I didn't. I heard it's so good.
It was great. It was great. And with a black director, a black female director too, it was definitely worth seeing.
It wasn't marketed as normal period pieces would be. Mm-mm. I mean, that's could be part of it.
Yeah. It didn't get all the, you know, it wasn't like Queen Elizabeth and all the huge push you get when it was Cate Blanchett as the lead. But it was a really, really good film. And I think coming off of that, I know I felt that things were beginning to change. Just the fact that a film like Belle got made, I was like, okay, there's starting to be some shift in, you know, mainstream Hollywood. But maybe not. When it comes to these blockbusters, when it comes to these big budget films, I really think it's the bottom line that's going to always rule. And the only thing that matters is making sure we break even and then some. And so I almost feel like it would take somebody who was ballsy enough to experiment and trust that if you do put black folks in a film that's out of the ordinary for what we are usually casted in, that we would still support it. Mm. You know what I mean? You need to trust that that will happen. If we see ourselves on the screen, we're going to want to fill the seats to see ourselves on the screen, no matter what capacity you put us in, you know, but
I hope that's the case with Dear White People.
I think that's going to be great. And I think a lot of folks are going to see that.
You know, they're quick to flock to Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, would we flock to something that speaks some truths about a certain part of our people's population? Because that's the other thing. Dear White People is also a class thing.
Yeah.
It's about black students in college, whereas Tyler Perry deals with working class black people. And so,
unless, of course, he's talking about himself. And by that time, he's third generation Ivy League helping out the working class.
You're right. You're so right. Wow. Go KC. Listen, guys, I don't want to keep us any longer. I think Dear White People might be our next topic, but we've got a lot of stuff coming up. We've got some interviews coming up. Thank you so much for your loyal support of the Black Is Online family and magazine and yes. podcast. And, you know, we've got the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. We've got the Brown Girl Hour. We've got the Jam with Merk 80. We've got, am I missing something? Oh, we've got The Break. We've got... Did I get everybody?
That's everybody. Do you mind if I mention one more thing?
Sure, plugger. Go ahead. Plug. Do you plug me on your show? Does anybody ever plug me? Because I plug everybody.
If you do choose to boycott this film, keep in mind there's tons of other films coming out this year. A gang of biopics. So the James Brown film that's coming out.
Very good. I hear it's very good.
I'm curious about that one. Yeah, me too.
I know somebody went to a screening and said it was very good.
The Jimi Hendrix film is coming out.
Andre.
Yep. Cheadle's film got greenlit, and the photos that I'm seeing from that.
And he plays the trumpet, actually.
Yeah.
Unlike Zoe, who I doubted can sing like
me. Is that film actually coming out? Yeah.
Sorry, we're going down the rabbit hole. We're going down the rabbit hole.
But yeah, let's support the ones that are definitely coming out. Let's show out.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Remember to make a career out of humanity. Commit yourself to the noble struggle for equal rights. You will make a greater person of yourself, a greater nation of your country, and a finer world to live in. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. Until next time, enjoy the view. Not have a good evening,
James.
We'll be right back.